These
guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people are blanked? Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, phones, as promised. Here's Josh and Wareham on something Murray just mentioned in the update. Cleveland in tonight for four games. Your thoughts on the series, Josh?
Hey, guys, good show. I like your take on all things baseball. I just, you know, I'm a very pessimistic Red Sox fan based off the last 2 years in the postseason, yada, yada, yada. But, given this series this week against Cleveland and then the upcoming series that's going to be happening against Houston, is it fair to, after watching these two series upcoming, that if they get their butts kicked, and I know it's regular season, but is it fair to judge them and say, listen, this is probably a preview of what's going to happen in October? I just want to get you guys' thoughts on that. Thank you.
Okay. Maz?
Well, so I'd say, is it, you know, a guarantee of what's going to happen in October? And I know he used the word preview. No. I mean, look, it can always change. But I think it could let a little of the air out of the balloon, and there's been a lot pumped in there in the last, you know, month. Ever since they wiped out the Yankees, it's been over, and we've all sort of bought in at this stage. But if they were to get their asses kicked, sure, yeah, it could be a reality check. No question about it.
Cleveland's a legit, I think, I don't know, the way they're constructed. They got a couple great pitchers up top. Is Bauer going to come back?
I don't know.
He might not be back this year.
So it's...
What is it?
A hairline fracture in his right leg.
Yeah.
I mean...
He should be back. That's 4 to 6 weeks.
I know, but it's... You know, with pitchers, you start dealing with legs, it's bad. He could come back. I just don't know how good he's going to be. I mean, it's something I would watch.
Well, their other guy goes tonight, Kluber.
Yep.
They made the big bullpen acquisition in the offseason, this Hand. Has he pitched well for him?
I haven't even looked yet.
So you add Hand to Andrew Miller and the closer. It's like they've got an MVP candidate themselves. They got...
They might have two. I mean, Lindor, too. Like, the shortstop, their 1-2's close to as good as yours.
Okay, so... Like,
they're legit.
They're legit on paper. They are. But again, it's sort of like they don't need it and you don't need it. They're 12 games up, you're 10. You don't need the games. So I don't know if it's a true, real barometer. Like, if I'm the Red Sox, I'm tinkering with this Braziers in the eighth inning and moving a starter still. Not that it's going to happen this series, but you know what I mean. Like, you don't need the games.
No, this is a good series. In fact, if you're going to try something like that, to try it. If you can get him a stretch in a big spot against the middle of that Cleveland lineup, and he's got to get Ramirez and Lindor and Encarnacion, let's see. Let's see what you got. It's the closest you're going to get because they're not going to play an important game between now and October.
We've got Rob and Taunton on Tom Brady. Yes, Rob.
Hey, I was at the game on Thursday, and Felga, I really agree with you 100%. Brady could not make any passes that were not over the middle or checking down to one of his running backs. He made several passes to the Philly sideline where he ended up threw the ball by at least 5 yards. And I do believe firmly that him missing all this practice has something to do with it. He's built no rapport with any of these wide receivers. I'd like to get a little further take on that.
Okay, well, I just agree with that 100%. And I'm not he didn't suck. Like, he was good. And he's certainly better than it sounded like the first couple weeks of camp. But it doesn't – him dumping it off to James White and Julian Edelman doesn't do anything for me. Like, I knew they could do that. He doesn't have to practice to do that. So that doesn't, that to me is that you're not going to have Edelman in the first month anyway. And they're just going to need more than that. Anytime he tried to go to Dorsett or Decker or Patterson or anyone else other than those guys, what happened?
Well, Hollister was the one that was the outlier. That, and what I was hoping to see is, okay, no Russ, so no Russ. But then some sort of rapport with these other guys, the Philip Dorsetts of the world. And the 22-yard seam route to Jacob Hollister, that was encouraging because at least you keep hearing that those two are working together on the side practice field when they wrap up. So it's got to be someone. Maybe it's this kid.
Well, so look, if you ask me what's more important, his receiving core or the fact that he missed the spring, I'll tell you it's the receiving core. Like, that's going to – the crap bags around him are going to have a bigger factor in this than Brady missing the practices in April and May. I'll acknowledge that. I just think, I don't know, he and they are built on hard work, and it seemed like he worked a little less hard this year. So that's at least I'm consistent about
it. No, looking at it right now, and Beadle and I were talking about it in the postgame, Britt or Decker are going to make this team by default.
Ugh.
They're going to have to, and Britt can't get on the field because of a hamstring thing, and Decker can't catch and looks washed up.
So two things.
Britt, Kenny Britt.
Two things related to this. One is, did you hear this report over the weekend that Jacoby Brissett in Indianapolis, that Seattle of all teams, like they don't need a quarterback, but Brian Schottenheimer went there, the assistant coach who was in Indianapolis. Seattle offered Indy a second-round pick for Jacoby Brissett, which they turned down, which is so stupid, I can't even think straight. Like, I don't know. I guess there's insurance there for Andrew Luck, but it's a second-round pick. But that's a side story. If I'm Indy, I take that deal. All my point is, this guy's worth a second-round pick around the league, and you got Philip Dorsett for him. You want to bitch and moan about the Jimmy Garoppolo return? It's time to start bitching about the Jacoby Brissett return. You could have gotten more for him, and you got Philip Dorsett.
I hated that trade when they made it, and not because they gave up Brissett. I just thought, you got to be kidding me. Philip Dorsett?
He's a bust.
Oh, God, he's really...
A fringe roster player who's, you know, was probably going to get cut out of Indy if he wasn't traded. So you basically have gotten nothing for Jacoby Brissett, and not a year later, there's offers of second-round picks on the table for the guy. That's got to be, you got to add that right to the list of Jimmy Garoppolo.
I mean, if this thing ends up going, like I say, south, you know, if this is sort of the fork in the road for the Patriots and they end up going down the wrong road, and we are going to look back on those two deals. They traded two quarterbacks, Garoppolo and Brissett, and got a second-round pick and Philip freaking Dorsett. That's what they will have gotten.
So that's my little thing. Murray's got another one when you talk about the Patriots receivers.
Yeah, so I didn't like their wide receiver core a month ago, and that was when they still had Jordan Matthews, and now he's gone to be replaced by Paul Turner in IT. So I like it even less. And with Isaiah Wynn done for the year, hurt Thursday, and Sony Michel's knee made out of Triscuits, two picks I liked, but they seemingly get worse by the day. I've decided, and I brought this up to you guys late last week, to keep an eye out for the two top wide receivers in the draft who were selected right around those selections where they took Wynn and Michelle. DJ Moore out of Maryland at 24, went to Carolina, and Calvin Ridley at 26, who went to Alabama and is now with the Atlanta Falcons. And the reason this popped in my head again is Saturday morning doing the show with Gasper. He's like, did you see Calvin Ridley last night?
Oh, that kid can play.
Remember that name. Because Gasper is thinking, he's like, you know, how can they maybe help the wide receiver core here? Maybe call Atlanta, see if you can poach Mohamed Sanu, because this Ridley looks like a player. Moore was working with the second and third team late in the Panthers' last preseason game, but you'll see him Friday as the Pats play him, the Panthers. But this Ridley kid was with the first team offense, and he looks like a stud.
I saw him in college. He sticks out. He does. He sticks out on the field. He's good.
So keep an eye out for those names, specifically Calvin Ridley. Remember that name, because it looks like they might have whiffed on that one. And you think of, and you look at what this team could be this year, where it could be 0-6-ish in terms of what that wide receiver core could be and how they're going to leave Brady high and dry with, you know, the likes of, again, Paul Turner from IT and Patterson, who really can't do anything else on a wide receiver screen and be a return man, and Philip Dorsett, who stinks. Like, they really might have whiffed on missing out on one of these guys.
Okay. Again, there's a receiver on the Patriots roster named Paul Turner, and so we say that does not sound like an NFL receiver. It sounds like a guy who works in the IT department down the hall. explain the joke.
Or the controller.
IT. Turner, the third receiver for the Patriots. Here's Joe in New Hampshire on the Red Sox. Hi, Joe.
Hey, just a quick thing. Been a Red Sox years. As far as the division being over, 1915 game lead, ring a bell?
No, not in this situation. It doesn't.
It doesn't. All right. Well, I've had my heart broken by these guys. That kind of thing, they had a 15-game lead after the All-Star break.
I know.
The Yankees caught them.
Can I tell you the difference, Joe?
Yes, sir.
The league was good then. The league was good. We looked this up the other day. The Brewers won 90-something games that year. The Yankees obviously won a million games. The Orioles won, like, it was a good division. There were good teams. It was a hard schedule. They had to play real teams. This Red Sox team gets Tampa and Baltimore and this crap every other day. So it ain't going to happen.
See, now that guy seemed like a very polite, well-mannered, friendly fella.
Yeah, what's he doing here?
Oh, but God, I wanted to dump all over him when he called right there. I did. I really wanted to dump all over him. First of all, it wasn't 15 in August or after the All-Star break. It was 14 and a half in early July. And secondly, the Yankees were a wagon. They weren't banged up like they are now, and the Red Sox were banged up. There's a wild card now. There's no wild card then. The league sucks, as you pointed out. None of it's going to happen. Stop. Are we still living with this stupidity? Stop. It's not 78. It's not going to happen. They're too good. The Red Sox are too good. The Yankees aren't going to catch them. It's over.
Rocco and Saugus. My buddy Rocco, we're supposed to meet for a fight at Hockey Town, Rocco. Where were you? I was there.
buddy. You're not at my level. I have my 14-year-old kid meet you there and smack you around, buddy. All right, man? You're not at my level. I grew up in East Somerville in the mid-90s. Ask anybody how it is. I got out of there because all my friends were turning into zombies. I didn't grow up in farmland like you did, kid. You're not on my level. So stop it, Mike. Stop it, all right?
Rocco,
dude, I don't want to hear it. I'll call you Putz. Come on, please. Please. I just want to talk about Brady. You always piss me off when it comes to Brady. Brady's not looking good. Brady's not looking red. Brady's awful. Oh, my God. Go back to Wisconsin with that attitude, man. Your panties and everything,
man. No. I want to meet you at the dinosaurs there at the bottom of Route 1.
I have my kid meet you over there. My 14-year-old kid will smack you around. You're not on my level. I told you this. Why are you not listening? What is that? Is something people in Wisconsin don't not listen? Is it all the brew you guys drink or the cheese that you guys eat? Seriously, come on, man. Seriously, I was come over there. Come on, bro. Don't think you're acting tough now because you're working south and Southie now.
Rocco,
all right, buddy?
Rocco, let's
Murray, see. Murray, I like you. Murray, I like you. Have your boy. Check your boy, Murray. Check your boy.
That guy's great.
I love Rocco. I do. He's rapidly becoming my favorite caller.
I'll meet you, Mike.
Oh, God. Yeah. We got to go back to that first call. That was the best one. Mike.
It escalated out of nowhere. It did, the last one.
Oh, it did. Talk about like from 0 to 100.
I'm going to need to see more than a couple of dump offs to James White and Julian Edelman in the first preseason game. I'm sorry. I just am. I'm not sold on the receiving core. I'm not sold that the passing game can be what it's been in the last couple of years.
Mike.
More of your wonderful phone calls right after this.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
It's definitely less than it was last time. Like I said, it just didn't bounce back. Wasn't really responding the way we wanted it to. And, given kind of where we are, it was, kind of the right call to give it some rest and stay on top of it. You don't want to be playing catch up during a time like this. So, like I said, obviously terrible timing. Not exactly the most ideal situation. To be honest, was quite miserable for me. So, but at the same time, I'm not gonna sit around and pout. I'm gonna keep my chin up. I'm on the best team that's ever walked the planet. So, I got good teammates that have my back, and I appreciate that.
Meanwhile, Chris Sale back on the DL. First time he went on there a couple weeks ago, both Maz and I said we weren't that concerned. Sale himself didn't express any concern. Thought it was precautionary more than anything. Smart move. Keep him rested. All fine. Now he's on it again. Would you say you're still not concerned, Maz, or are you concerned this time?
Oh, no, I'm concerned this time. I'm absolutely concerned. Again, when it happens the second time, I don't think you can just ignore it and say this is part of the plan. It's clearly not. And they did it the first time with the idea that, oh, we'll nip this in the bud. That'll be the end of it. Send him back out there and everything will be fine. And it happened again. So clearly, whatever it was that they did wasn't good enough. Or it came back and it's tough. It's stronger. The inflammation is stronger than they thought. So I'm worried now. I'm worried about their ability to manage this going forward. Yes.
So to me, I don't blame the Red Sox for trying a new approach. It's just clear this new approach did not work. I think they came in with an idea to try something different with him and really hold back with him to have him to be in a better spot at this time of year, and so it didn't work. I don't blame the team, but again, it didn't work. And it reinforces. I mean, you said it the day they traded for him. You said it the day, he got off to a good start. This guy's not a workhorse. And he's just not. He's just not one of those guys. He's closer to, Pedro, who is brilliant, but had to be managed.
Correct.
And that's what this is. So even if he does come back healthy and is able to pitch, he's still not going to give you that thing that I don't know if they need. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But that guy that pitches games 1, 4, and 7 in the 7-game series or, pitches game 5 and then comes back and pitches 3 more innings in game 7, something like that. Baumgartner, with those guys who've done that over the years. Morris, Schilling, Randy John, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Even if he does come back, he's just not that guy.
No, he's not. And again, those guys are so rare. So now they're gonna have to treat this guy differently going forward. And hell, who knows? It might only be one more year anyway. But I think it's got to factor in, if and when you even want to start talking contract with him over the winter. But in the short term, you got to manage it. You got to manage it, and it's gonna put a little more weight on some of the other guys on your staff.
Okay, I'm still sending a starter out to the bullpen though. I'm still doing that because I don't totally buying on Braziers. And to me, you need a guy out there. So even without Chris Sale, I'm Eovaldi or Eddie Rodriguez are going out there soon. They're going out there soon. I'm getting settled in. I'm getting them comfortable with their role, knowing their role, and I'm not wasting any time on that. And that means I'm starting Hector Velazquez or something from Pawtucket or the Woo Sox. I don't care. I'm going to start those guys because it doesn't matter. You're not losing this division lead. I'm still figuring out that bullpen.
See, I just don't know if Eduardo Rodriguez can do it. I don't know if he's got the sort of the head for it. You know,
is it the head or the balls?
Well, I mean, just dropping it. Maybe it's the same thing. You know, I did. You drop a guy in the seventh inning with men on base, you could have a certain mentality to be able to handle
that. I don't think Rodriguez has it.
I don't know. That's just it's a you know. I think Price can do it. I've seen Price do it. So
damn
maybe that like and you know what? Even like Eovaldi, I don't know. I wonder. Maybe I feel better about him than I do about Rodriguez. I feel like Rodriguez that could be a disaster. Just changing the whole routine on him. Like I just don't know. It's in my gut. That's it. Purely in my gut. I fear that.
Okay, back to the phones. Wayne in Grafton has some Red Sox stuff for us. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how you doing? Jimmy Stewart, you know, first of all, you know, you must have been excited that Francona's coming back to town. Must be getting moist over that. And then your buddy, the Brock star, hits a walk-off, not a walk-off, that pinch hit home run the other night. But the Red Sox have found their ace. You know, you have Price. He comes in, and even if Sale comes back at 75, 80%, maybe you throw him in the bullpen for a couple of innings.
No.
And as far as the Paw Sox are concerned, Maz, we should say the Woo Sox. I forgot to talk to you about this last week. I know the way you feel about Connecticut. I feel the same about Worcester. Worcester sucks. I live 25 minutes away from it. I'd rather take a steaming dump in my shorts than drive through Worcester. So, Murray, I need some man wipes. Peace out.
Sale.
A lot to unpack there.
Oh, yeah, boy, no, was there really ever. Is, yeah. No, the end is the best part, though.
Yeah. Worcester's bad. I don't know if it's that bad. Where are we here? I got to recover from that. Here's Kevin in North Providence. Go ahead, Kevin. What do you got?
I just wanted to tell you that you're not on my level. That's number one. I don't think that they could have gotten that much for Brissett at that time. The reason why they're offering any, well, first of all, second pick for him right now, that's insane. And I don't know what's going on in Seattle anyway. Who cares?
Well, no. Kevin, they could not have gotten a second for him at that time. That's not my implication. My implication was that he was just worth more than you got. That's all.
Okay. I mean, okay. They at the time, I believe, they were getting ready to cut rosters, and they were about to drop him because they weren't going to carry another quarterback. Sorry, I'm excited.
So, but they should have. They should have. If the guy could play, they should have. They've carried four quarterbacks before. They've carried three quarterbacks before. They could have carried Jacoby Brissett if they wanted to. All right? But Bill didn't want to because he thought he'd be able to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. So he traded the third guy. The whole thing was not managed properly. And the Brissett trade is another example of it.
So I want to make sure I understand this now. Typically, the Patriots let a player go. He goes somewhere else. And they say, see, he can't play. Bill was right. Now Bill lets a guy go. The guy can play. And it's, yeah, but Bill wasn't going to keep him on the roster.
No, it was, see, Bill was right. Like, still, somehow Bill was right.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, if they didn't know what the value was at that time, if that's what the argument is, well, then they underestimate the player.
That's their job to know the value. That's
exactly,
the whole point.
Exactly. Like, I look at that and say, if he's better than they thought, then they made a mistake evaluating the player.
Thank you.
I mean, like, Bill can't win on both. You know, he can't win both ways there. Sorry. I know that Patriots fans want to give him the victory on everything. But if Brissett was ultimately worth more, then they undersold the asset. Fact. It's, like, not even debatable.
Here's Jake in Andover with the Patriots thought. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys. So, actually, I just think it's hilarious. I mean, one quick thing on Brissett, and I want to get to my main point, is I brought this up months ago about being outraged about this Brissett trade, and now all of a sudden it's coming back. I think it's funny. But my thing is that on my screen here, it says Patterson has some type of purpose. And I know everyone wants to just crap on Patterson. I'm not saying he's not going to be Julio Jones. And I'm not putting him that high on a tier list at all. But, I mean, you look at what he was surrounded in Minnesota. I mean, you had Christian Ponder as your quarterback. You had Castle and a half-dead Teddy Bridgewater. there's not a whole crap ton of production, especially with Peterson on the team, you're going to get out of the guy. So I feel like with losing Brandon Cooks, who do we have as a deep threat? I mean, again, Brady doesn't go there often, but when he does, and again, if Gronk's hurt, because, you know, that's just another injury away, who do we have for a guy that you can throw 30, 40 yards down the line?
Okay, Jake, and I'm just going to cut you off.
Paul Turner.
Because we're up against the update. I don't care about throwing 34 yards down the field. Why do you need to do that?
Got to take the top off the D.
I'm down on Cordell Patterson. I hate those kind of guys. He doesn't run routes. He just runs fast down the field. And if you can spring him on one of those slip screens where he gets a block like he did in this game, then maybe you can do something. Although he didn't really do anything in this one because he stepped out of bounds.
Still
stepped out of bounds. Okay. So I'm just not, I don't feel like he's an instinctive football player. I like their receivers who get open and catch the ball. And they've had such a long run of them that I love the Hogan, Amendola, Troy Brown, even Malcolm Mitchell. I love that player. Guys who just simply ran routes the way Brady wants them run, reliably get open, catch the ball. Patterson's not that guy. He's just one of those home run hitters that I don't care about. And I still haven't seen him really run a route. And the one route I did see him run, Brady overshot him by 5 yards and almost got him killed. So I just don't have faith in the Cordell Patterson.
About the
thing.
Only comp
I don't
is he could be Percy Harvin, who again is kind of just more like a gimmicky type of player. Like, ooh, he's fast, but is he a really good route runner? No.
Right.
I think Percy Harvin was better than this guy.
Oh, yeah.
I do. He's like Darius Heyward Bay.
Oh,
you know, like
exactly.
That kind of.
Yes, good one.
That to me, that's what he is. No, I think he's a better kick returner than that, but like, that's what he is. He just, just run and I'll whip it up there.
He'll make a handful of plays over the course of the year where you go, wow, and that's about it. It's just not enough, and he won't be there when you need him because, typically that's not how playoff games are won. You got to be tough and get open and catch the ball and all those things, and I don't feel like he's that guy. Here's Murray's update. We're back with Mr. Happy. Mr. Happy was back at it over the weekend as well. We'll explain.
Sports Hub headlines.
Yeah, you don't want none of this. Red Sox and Cleveland Indians beginning a four-game series and a potential playoff preview tonight at Fenway Park. It's a battle of 2-15 game winners on the mound as the Indians will send Corey Kluber to the hill against Rick Porcello in the opener. Terry Francona, by the way, 15-18 against the Red Sox since becoming manager of the Indians and 6-11 at Fenway Park. All that being said, it should be a good...
How about the playoffs? What's he in the playoffs, Murray?
I think we know how that ended up, Maz. All that being said, it should be a good competitive series. So how does Red Sox manager Alex Cora think that his club compares to Terry Francona's this year?
Very similar teams, if you look at the numbers. Offensively, athletes, managers have no hair. They do things very similar to what we do. Running-wise, they steal bases just like we do. Good pitching staff. They got three lefties in the bullpen, which you don't see that often. Very complete team.
Alex Cora with a shout-out to us fellow Balds out there today. First pitch, 7:10 tonight. In their first full padded practice this week, rookie tight end Ryan Izzo with the Patriots absent today. It's the first time he was absent at any practice this summer. Pat's also still missing running back Sony Michel, tackle Marcus Cannon, and linebacker Harvey Lange. Running back Rex Burkhead, he was limited. Patriots play their third preseason game this Friday against the Carolina Panthers. And the Washington Redskins today signed running back Adrian Peterson to a one-year deal. He was last with the Arizona Cardinals. Headlines are brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank. They are financing deals for corporate clients with flexibility at every turn. Learn more at cambridgesavings.com. They're an equal housing lender. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update, 6 o'clock.
Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Really is a difference maker.
Ooh.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
You've been on the road now for the last 6 or 7 weeks. What are some of the reasons why you've been on fire?
I made adjustments.
What kind of adjustments?
I'm not going to tell you, Johnny. You can go back and watch film, or I'm not going to do your job for you. I'm sorry. You don't do mine, so I won't do yours.
Mr. Happy, David Price, who, as Johnny Miller said, has been on fire. I don't know. Murray had the numbers.
3-0, 1-3-5 since the All-Star break. They've won all five games.
Thank you.
And two good starts against two really good teams, Yankees and the Phillies, although the Yankees were without Gary Sanchez, who owns him, and no Aaron Judge in that game.
And the Phillies are a National League lineup.
Would you just stop? He's been lights out since the All-Star break, and he can't help from being a miserable pill for no reason to Johnny Miller. There's another exchange. Jimmy, why don't you play it? If you could, please.
With Thale being out, would that put any more pressure on you and Rick to perform?
I'm making $32 million. Don't matter. I mean, this, they don't change what I'm doing. I've got enough pressure on me.
Oh, there's that. And again, just replay the rejoin.
He really wants nothing to do with any additional responsibility.
Just like things are going
it's
good.
It's so true, Murray. You're so right.
But he can't help himself. He's just so miserable.
Under pressure. You
go.
You've been on a roll now for the last 6 or 7 weeks. What are some of the reasons why you've been on fire?
I made adjustments.
What kind of adjustments?
I'm not going to tell you, Johnny. You can go back and watch film, or I'm not going to do your job for you. I'm sorry. You don't do mine, so I won't do yours.
Murray?
Pressure on David. David on the mound. Da-da-da. Da-da-da. I'm not okay.
I said it earlier. I think he gets super bitchy and confrontational like this as a defense mechanism. And he acted like how he acted after the game when he's got something looming ahead of him. A big starter where the team is really counting on him. And Johnny asks him, "Now, is there now more pressure on you because Chris Sale is out? And what's he good?
Well, I got $32 million. I got to live up to that money. You don't know what that's like."
Oh, please. Like, you even think about that. You hate it here, and you get defensive about it because the pressure's on, because now all the bright lights are on you again. You're the de facto number one starter from here into the playoffs, or maybe if Chris Sale's out the rest of the season. And he's melted down like this when there's been a big start ahead of him. He did this ahead of the Yankee start in New York on the Sunday night when he chirped at Greg Bedard, like, "Oh, yeah, no, I'm going to be playing Fortnite." Yeah, Fortnite, or whatever that was at that time.
Yeah.
Last year. Meltdowns with Dennis Eckersley, Evan Drellick, Weinster, Dan Shaughnessy in the Boston Globe, but that's because he was dealing with an injury and that whole thing the whole year. Like, "Oh, my arm going to fall off. I'm going to be a martyr to you people. You want the thing to fall off? F you." Like, he was bitchy the whole year because he's dealing with the injury and the looming issue as to whether or not his arm was going to end up betraying him. And then in that postseason prior, he's bitchy with Trenny of NBC Sports Boston when she's in New York and they clinch on that weird night that they lose but clinch. And they're going into the postseason and he's kind of like a smug DB and he's leaving the goggles on the whole time. And what's looming ahead of him? A postseason start, which of course we all know he was going to lose, and he did. What was it, 5 runs and 3 2/3, whatever it was in Cleveland, stinks in the postseason. We know that. Now the pressure's on. Chris Sale out indefinitely. David Price, number one again. All the pressure's on you, David. So now it's time for me to get bitchy. I'm going to get angry. This is my defense mechanism. I'm going to put up the wall. You don't know what my pain is like. You don't know what it's like to be me. You do your job, Johnny. I'll do mine. Oh, I hate him. Screw.
You know, the other thing, too, is if you look at his history, like right before that Yankee start, he had 9 starts where he went 7-1 with an ERA under 3.
Yeah, has Price changed? Now he's going to go into New York and be dominant. No. 5 bombs he gave up.
I mean, it's so true, though. Just when you want to start believing in this guy, there's one waiting around the corner ready to hit you in the face with a pipe. Like, seriously, that's what it is with this guy. And I have a hard time buying in. I don't believe in the stuff in Price like I used to. He scares the hell out of me.
So he's anxious. He's anxious. He's feeling the stress. So he lashes out. He gets angry. It's his defense against, you know, us a-holes in the media, who he hates, obviously.
Okay, so there again, David Price over the weekend. We continue with your phone calls up until the final word. Patriots and Red Sox here on a reentry Monday. Miles in Wakefield on Tom Brady. Hi, Miles. Miles.
Hey, how are you today?
Good, Miles.
Great. First time call. You guys are fantastic. I want to say, I know you guys like, buzz through it. So I want to say first, Maz, I really appreciate that the fact of the JD situation, outstanding, that you came around. Felger, number one, loved not shootouts in hockey, 3-on-3, 4-on-4. And my question is with Brady, you guys are all over him. So I'm just a fan. I mean, maybe the Pats aren't really looking at telling everybody what they're doing. Like, you know, I mean, are they going to show anybody? Why would they show anybody? So I leave it up to you guys.
Okay, so let me, the thing about being all over them, yes, I am. Yep. In fact, for me and Tom Brady, the bar's never been higher. If you had the next franchise quarterback for a decade plus, okay? You had the next guy. And I'm okay moving on from that guy if you get three balls-to-the-wall years out of Tom Brady. That's a fair trade-off. 10 years for three? That shouldn't be a trade-off, but I will accept it if we get three balls-to-the-wall years. And so that's my expectation for Tom Brady. Anything less than that, anything less than a fully committed, fully productive, elite Tom Brady that contends for championships and goes to Super Bowls, then you've blown the Garoppolo decision. That's it. So, yep, I'm all over him. And my expectations for him have never been higher. And my scrutiny of him has never been higher. And so should the teams. They sacrificed a decade of the next guy for this.
Maybe more.
Okay? So when you give up 10 years for three, those three better be really good. And so that's my expectation for Tom Brady. Yep, I'm all over him. I'm being unfair. The bar is unreasonably high, but that's the trade-off. Because if we're getting something less than his best, something less than his full engagement, then I'll just go with the kid. And then I should have gone with the kid. So, yep, guilty as charged on that one. Charlie in Arlington has a thought on the Red Sox. Yes, Charlie.
Hey, Tony, I'm interested to hear how you haven't spoken much about, you know, how the Sox are going to miss Hanley's bat come playoff time.
Well, so Charlie,
an awful lot about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think there were two things. One, some details came to light as to what was, you know, may have been involved in the decision, independent of what the Red Sox say. You know,
that aside, though, I mean, just the fact, I mean, that doesn't really matter. I mean, they got rid of him. I just don't think with that lineup that bat was going to make that big of a difference.
Okay, I thought you were giving me grief for saying they should have held on to him because he hit in the playoffs. But that aside, the other thing that happened is they got Steve Pierce, and Pierce has hit. I mean, Pierce has been really good for him. So, you know, if Pierce doesn't hit in the playoffs, then you can question whether or not they needed another righty bat. It's hard to question Hanley at this stage, though.
You know me, I didn't shed a tear when it happened. I never wanted the guy in the first place. If I was wrong about J.D. Martinez, I was right to not trust Hanley Ramirez. I've never trusted that guy. Let's wrap it up here with a Red Sox call. Mac in California. Go ahead, Mac.
Hey, Red Sox bullpen. Like, Brazier is unproven. Barnes was a guy, but he's now on the WOGB. And Embry is like a walking heart attack. Kelly Thornburg, Pomeranzer, Scrubs. Workman had great stuff yesterday. And I don't even really believe in Kimbrel, but isn't Workman probably the best seventh or eighth inning guy?
Maz?
I mean, I throw him in the pot with everybody else. His stuff's not as good as some of the other guys, but he throws more strikes. So there's that. He's somewhere sort of in between. It would just be nice to have a guy that could do both, throw hard and throw strikes. And if you go by the numbers, Brazier is the best combination of those things. I mean, he throws hard and he throws strikes.
So, before he came up, he had only picked 7 major league games, and they were 5 years ago.
Listen, I'm with you. It scares the hell out of me because they don't have an answer there. It's amazing that you could have a team like this that has won as many games as they have, that has spent as much money as they have, and go the whole year and still not have an answer for the eighth inning. It blows me away that you could do that.
Final word comes your way next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim. Nobody. I'm going to be a little bit of a different, well, maybe a lot different kind of final word tonight. It's a somber final word. And I just want to send a personal message out to everyone here from 98.5 The Sports Hub, to Bob Beers, our exceptional and unparalleled color man on the Bruins. He lost his wife over the weekend, unbeknownst to most of us. His wife, Beth, who had been married to Bob for 27 years, passed over the weekend after a long battle with breast cancer. Beth leaves behind not just Bob, but their 3 children, Ryan, Rachel, and Reagan Beers. Condolences and love and all of our thoughts to Bob and their children on the loss of Beth over the weekend. This is something, when I walked in today, I was told this. I had no idea that Bob's wife was battling cancer. I don't think anyone knew. He kept it.
No, I don't think anyone knew is right. He didn't want people to focus on it.
Kept that totally private. So that was just, you know, that hit a lot of us like a ton of bricks today when we first heard that Bob has been dealing with that for however long. And again, I don't know. Not many of us do. He had kept that private the whole time. But again, thoughts and condolences and all of our love to Bob and his children, Ryan, Rachel, and Reagan, for the loss of Beth.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you, I came in and, you know, the program director, Mike Thomas, had sent out a note. So, no, and I'm not sure how many people knew. I suspect Mike did or some other people did in the building. And, yeah, I mean, as you know, I lost my mother last fall, last September. And to lose, I can't even contemplate losing my wife. Like, you know, to have that affect your family the way that obviously this is affecting the Beers is. So we're thinking of you, Bob, and, you know, obviously we're happy to help out with anything he needs our help on.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I'm one of these people that was stunned. I saw the emails, like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, then again, I don't really know Bob all that well, other than listening and occasionally seeing him and crossing over on Saturday mornings. But I have to imagine she was very young, too. I mean, that's obviously awful at any age, but Bob's got to be in his 50s, right? I mean, so... yeah, condolences to Bob and his family. It's brutal.
Okay. And again, Bobby, we are all thinking you. That's from everyone here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. Funeral services will be at St. Bridget's. I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that right. It's St. Bridget's Parish in Lexington. It's a Friday, August 24th at 10 a.m. In lieu of flowers, gifts may be made to the oncology department at Lahey Hospital and Medical Center in memory of Beth Beers to support the greatest needs in patient care. Please send your gift to Philanthropy Office, Lahey Hospital and Medical Center. That's 41 Mall Road in Burlington, 01805. If you didn't write that down, you can catch that back on our podcast. I'm sure we'll put that up on the website as well. You may also donate at givinglaheyhealth.org/donate. Again, giving.laheyhealth.org/donate. But again, thoughts and prayers to Bob and Ryan and Rachel and Reagan for the loss of Beth. So sorry for that. Downer of a final word, but that's that. We're not going to do anything else other than that. There really is nothing else to do except set up the baseball reporters tonight, Maz. What are we talking about tonight?
Well, so we'll touch on some of the things we've hit on here during the course of the show. We'll get to Chris Sale, his weekend, the recurrence of that injury, him going back on the disabled list. Also, I'm going to give you a stat on David Price that may blow your mind. It may blow your mind.
Wow.
Surprisingly good. Okay, surprisingly good. Mookie Betts had a comment, too, over the weekend concerning, you know, the opponent that's coming into Fenway Park this week, the Cleveland Indians, so we'll get to Mookie Betts. We'll touch on the MLB.com Twitter account. Just they had an eventful weekend. We'll fill you in on that. Yes, indeed. And,
Maz, can I make a request, please?
Yeah, go, please, hurry.
Would you just ask Red Sox fans if they're worried about Chris Price?
Chris Sale.
Chris Sale? How's that? Two things that don't belong together. Would you ask if they're worried about Chris Sale? Because don't you get the sense that most fans are sort of whistling past the graveyard on this? He's fine. They'll be fine. They're managing him. He'll be ready for the playoffs. They're being smart here. Like, I don't know if as many fans are as worried about this as they should be.
Yeah, it feels like, again, people are just chalking this up to them prepping for the postseason. And I don't think that's what's going on here. And look, again, I'm not, you know, I'm not in the clubhouse. I'm not around that team like I used to be. But to me, when a guy goes on the DL twice in the span of 2 weeks, basically...
typically not good.
No, wildly unusual, and suggests that there's a greater problem there. So to me, that's something that that you should take seriously, because if this guy is, like, dare we say, if he's not available at all, boy, that really throws a huge wrench into their plans for the postseason. And then if he's compromised, it may even throw a wrench into their plans for the postseason. This is hardly a small thing to just gloss over.
Okay, so not to program your show, but I'm curious. Red Sox fans, are you worried or not about Chris Sale? 617-779-0985. That's a telephone number. There'll be no commercials. There'll be an update here from Jim Murray, and then you get Maz and the baseball reporters. We're back at it tomorrow at 2. A lot of things I want to... they'll have the Red Sox tonight. You know, really interesting game. Corey Kluber, their ace on the mound, real competition. So should be a good one tonight and a good series to talk about. Also some leftover Patriots things to get to as well. And a talk show radio host was hit by lightning in Milwaukee over the weekend. Just FYI, you think I was overacting the other day in Foxborough with that lightning? The gods are out to get us, Maz, because if you want to talk about targets, I think talk show radio hosts are right up there among the top of the top.
You know what there were a lot of people saying?
They got the wrong guy.
Well, the show was, the person was hitting Milwaukee. Unfortunately, Felger was in Nantucket.
So, here's Maz. We're back at tomorrow at 2. Bye-bye.